Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. It is Friday. Thank God for that. And this is number 11. No, number 12. It's number 12 of our series, Sheridan on Romans. And again, I'm late on this today. I know some of you are asking why I'm so late, but just couldn't help it. I was working this morning, and I'm just taking time during my lunch break here to get this recording in. And so please be patient with me as we go through this book. Well, we're in Romans chapter 1, and we've reached verse 24 to 32, which we will be covering today. We pointed out last time that God's indignation is being revealed from heaven on all irreverence and injustice of men who are retaining the truth in injustice. And it gives you two reasons. Verse 19, because that. And then verse 21, we see it again, because that. So two times. First, because in verse 19 is in reference to the fact that God's attributes, his invisible attributes, are described from the creation of the world. And then when having seen the great attributes of God described from the creation of the world, they, instead of acknowledging God as God, glorifying God and thanking him, they did just the opposite. They became vain in their vain were they made in their reasonings, and darkened is their unintelligent heart, and so forth. And they offer divine service to the creature rather than the creator. Well, verse 24, verse 24, wherefore God gives them over. Now we're going to see three times this phrase. Verse 24, God gives them over. Verse 26, God gives them over. Verse 28, God gives them over. So three times we see this phrase. So therefore, verse 24, God gives them over in the lusts of their hearts to the uncleanness of dishonoring their bodies among themselves. Now I want you to notice the phrase here. God gives them over in the lusts of their hearts to the uncleanness of dishonoring their bodies among themselves. God could restrain any sin that he delights. For instance, in Genesis 20, I recall this in reading in Genesis 20, this is Yahweh speaking to Abimelech. Now it says, Abimelech had taken Abraham's wife, Sarah, and to be his wife, basically, and God restrained Abimelech. Now notice this in verse 6 of Genesis 20. The one, Elohim, replied to him in the dream, I too know that you have done this in the sincerity of your heart, and I was also keeping you back from sinning against me. Now ponder this. Yahweh, Elohim, was holding him back. He was holding Abimelech back from doing this thing. And so he has been restrained. Now, Yahweh could have given Abimelech up if he wanted to, but he didn't. He restrained him from performing an act that he had in mind to do. Now, by the way, back this up and think about this in the light of Genesis 3. Could Yahweh have restrained Adam from taking of the fruit? Of course he could have. So there's a purpose to everything. Well, verse 24, wherefore God gives them over in the lusts of their hearts to the uncleanness of dishonoring their bodies among themselves. Notice when they worship man, verse 23, what happens? Their bodies become dishonored. And by the way, the opposite of this in Genesis 12 is we present our bodies a living sacrifice. In Romans 1, our bodies are dishonored. Romans 12, a believer who is justified gratuitously can now give his body over to useful purposes to the glory of his Creator. Well, verse 24, wherefore God gives them over in the lusts of their hearts to the uncleanness of dishonoring their bodies among themselves. Those who alter the truth of God into the lie and are venerated and offer divine service to the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed for the eons. Amen. Well, here we have a reference to the lie. Now, the lie here, I believe, is in referring to idolatry. And this lie will be culminated. It'll reach its highest point in the unveiling, the 13th chapter, when they all worship this wild beast in the unveiling. Remember in the temptations of the Lord Jesus, and I'll just turn there real quickly to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and it says here, verse 8, and again the adversary takes him along into a very high mountain, and is showing him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these to you will I be giving, if ever falling down, you should be worshiping me. And that is really the goal of the adversary here, is to get this worship. And I believe this is the lie that is being offered here. Verse 10 of Matthew 4, it says, Jesus is saying to him, go away, Satan, for it is written, the Lord your God shall you be worshiping, and to him only shall you be offering divine service. And by the way, that's a good reference to put here in Romans 1:25. A good cross reference is Matthew 4:8-10. I'm actually going to write that down here. Matthew 4:8-10. Good cross reference. Now the other reference we'll find is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I turn to 2 Timothy. I'm a little off today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is referring to the man of lawlessness. Now I'm just going to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we are asking you, brethren, for the sake of the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling to him, that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be alarmed, either through spirit or through word or through an epistle, as through us, as that the day of the Lord is present. No one should be deluding you by any method, for should not the apostasy be coming first, and the man of lawlessness be unveiled, the son of destruction, who is opposing and lifting himself up over everyone termed a god or an object of veneration, so that he is seated in the temple of God, demonstrating that he himself is God? This is the lie. This is the lie in its highest form. It starts off with offering divine service to the creature, and it'll end with men offering divine service to this man here in 2 Thessalonians. Do you not remember that still being with you I told you these things? And now you are aware what is detaining for him to be unveiled in his own era. For the secret of lawlessness is already operating. Only when the present detainer may be coming to be out of the midst, then will be unveiled the lawless one, whose presence is in accord with the operation of Satan, with all power and signs and false miracles, with every seduction of injustice of those who are perishing because they do not receive the love of the truth for their salvation, and therefore God will be sending them an operation of deception for them to believe the falsehood. There's the same type of phrase, the falsehood or the lie in Romans 1, that all may be judged, not believe the truth, but delight in injustice. Now notice this. There's something detaining this man of lawlessness, and it's part of the restraining effort, the restraints of God. And in Romans 1, and going back here to Romans 1, we have the lie. And in 2 Thessalonians, we have the falsehood. And between the lie and the falsehood is the present administration of grace. And what do we mean by that? I want you to ponder this. If you were to take Paul's letters, Romans through Philemon, and do a graphic in your mind, and by the way, we might not finish this chapter. I want to dwell on this thought here of the lie for a little bit. If you were to take Paul's letters, Romans through Philemon, on the left side of that graphic, you write the lie, and on the right side, you write the falsehood. And in between the lie and the falsehood, we have the present administration of grace. In other words, God is unveiling the greatest grace between the lie and the falsehood. Men back in the Tower of Babel, they recognized God, and yet instead of choosing to worship him and thank him, they worshiped and served the creature. And in Thessalonians, that lie is going to be manifested in its highest form with the bowing down before the man of lawlessness. But in between then, we have the greatest grace being exposed. It's as it were that God is restraining this coming lie so he can first demonstrate the greatness of his grace to those who are susceptible to that lie. And boy, this is quite a theme, and I wasn't planning on getting into this, but when I saw this phrase, how important it is, idolatry has been the scourge of humanity. We don't realize how much this has been a scourge on humanity, offering divine service to the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed for the eons. Amen. So what's going on today? The people we're reading about in Romans 1 and 2 All have gone to idolatry. We're going to see in Romans 2 that the Jew is just as guilty as of idolatry as the Gentile. But what is God doing today? He's restraining the man of lawlessness from appearing so that in this time period he can go out to the world and bring idolaters to the knowledge of the true and living God. For instance, 1 Thessalonians, we read this. Pay attention here. 1 Thessalonians, it says this. Paul is referring to the Thessalonians as, in verse 8, for from you has been sounded forth the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith toward God has come out, so that we have no need to be speaking of anything, for they are reporting concerning us what kind of an entrance we had to you, and how you turned back to God from idols. Well, when did these Thessalonians turn back to God? When were the Thessalonians ever believers in God? Well, the answer is, as Gentiles, they turned away from God from the Tower of Babel onward. And so when the Thessalonians put their faith in Christ, they were turning back to God. It says they turned back to God from idols to be slaving for the living and true God and to be waiting for his Son out of the heavens, whom he rouses from among the dead, Jesus, our rescuer from the coming indignation. The coming indignation on this earth is connected with idolatry. And that's why the good news, the evangel in the book of Revelation is about the Creator and worship and fear Him, the one who made all things, not the idols. And so in Romans 1, God shows how the world had gone into idolatry, and now today He is going out to a world of idolaters with the message of grace. And there's coming a day when the church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, which is his body, will be snatched away to glory, and then the lie will continue. Well, the secret of lawlessness is at work today already. We know that. And I know I've said a lot of complicated things on these shows, but this is a marvelous study. Idolatry is the great sin being referred to here, and yet God today is going out and fitting for celestial glories those who at one time bowed down before images. What an amazing evangel of grace we have today. Won't you put your faith in Christ as your Savior, the one who died for you, was entombed and roused again the third day, and the Lord Jesus saves idolaters, because it's not out of us. It's not anything you do. It's not of works. It's not out of you. It's a gift of God through the accomplishments of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Yes, God will eventually save all mankind, but that's in the future. There's still an aeonian purpose going on. God is doing things in the eons, and let's get in tune with these things. Well, this is Dan Sheridan, and I'm sorry I didn't get as far as I said we'd get. I hope this has been helpful. If you do have any questions, feel free to contact me through the website, crossandthrone.com, or you can call me at 847-312-4676. Go to the website and you can listen to these programs again, and also check out our new bookstore. If you want to keep the program running, please consider support at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. You guys have a great weekend.